One of the classic evangelical questions in Christian conversations, we've all heard it before, I'm sure, is the question, are you saved? I mean, how many times have we heard that question from our friends in Protestant circles? Now, at first glance, it seems that that's why we're all here, to be saved. I mean, you've heard me say many times over, life is practice for heaven. What we do here, coming to Mass and prayer and daily devotion and helping those in need and accompanying those who are lost, this is all about getting to heaven ourselves. Our life should never find its ultimate meaning in what we do here. But in fact, life finds ultimate meaning in where we are going. Heaven. Or another way to think about it, every decision you make in life should be made in light of getting to heaven. So the question, are you saved, is definitely an important question. The problem I have with the question, though, is that it's too safe. That's what I think the real message of this gospel passage is. It's a story about people who are being too safe with their commitment to God. They're a bit defensive with the call, or put another way, it's a story about people fearfully striving for salvation rather than people freely striving for salvation. Let me explain. This week, I came across a profound reflection about what I'm trying to convey in this homily. It's a blog post by Father Ron Rollheiser. And the title of his blog post was, Have I Been Saved? And in the blog, Father Rollheiser suggests that one of the most intriguing things to think about when you're asked, have you been saved, is the idea that to be a Christian, someone who wants to be like Christ, that's you and me, by the way. Our goal is to be other Christs. That's why we go by the name Christian. The idea is that the Christian shouldn't be so much interested in being saved as the Christian should be interested in being spent. This is very important. The Christian life is not so much about being saved as it is about being spent. The good people following Jesus in this passage from Luke are just that. They're good people. They want to care for their parents. I mean, who doesn't want to do that? In fact, that's one of the commandments, number 4. I mean, these are good people who want to manage their affairs well, going back to tie up loose ends with their business and presumably employees and clients before following Jesus. There's a lot of you and me in them for sure. But that's not the call of Jesus Christ. Of all the quality identifiers of a Christian, piety, holiness, faithfulness, of all the many qualities of a Christian, one that is most essential is generosity. This is the mark of a Christian. Really, this is the mark of Judeo-Christianity. I mean, think about it. The generosity of God with us and the expectation that we will be generous in return to God and each other. I mean, if you go back to the very beginning, God didn't have to create us at all. There was no reason, there was no need, I should say, for God to create us and all that is. He was and he remains perfect, free of deficiency, without need of anything. And yet, he chose to create us. It's very generous of God. Or the story of the prodigal son. That story is much less about the son and much more about the father, who prodigally, generously forgives the son and welcomes him back, even though the son doesn't necessarily deserve the father's forgiveness or the father's generosity. Or the story of the sower and the seed. It's not about a farmer who conservatively takes one seed and carefully places it in the ground step by step down the rows of his tilled farm. He generously throws the seed out in every direction without fear, knowing that some of the seed will fall on good soil and bear a rich harvest. Jesus himself. Think about Jesus' life. He doesn't preach and heal and do miracles and then go back to his family to make more furniture. He preaches and heals and does miracles all the way to the cross. Rather than looking to be saved, he instead looks to be spent. See, this is what Christianity is all about. It's not about saving things. It's about spending things. And most importantly, it's about spending your soul. This is Christianity. This is ministry. This is the way. This is what you and I are called to do every day. We're not called to save our lives. We're called to spend our lives on whatever God asks of us, without looking back and in total generosity. Now, I didn't want to speak today about my leaving St. Louis because I wanted to treat today like it's any other Sunday. It's not about me. I didn't want to be self-indulgent in this homily. But as I was writing the homily yesterday, my leaving this place that I love so much began to make perfect sense as I celebrate this final weekend of Masses. I have loved being your pastor. I've loved everything about it. I've loved preaching homilies to you every Sunday. I've loved praying every weekday with you in the chapel. I've loved doing ministry with you. I've loved it all. I've loved resurfacing parking lots with you. I have loved getting rid of those yellow chairs in the parish hall with you. I have loved putting new hymnals in the pews for you. I have loved renovating the offices with you. I've loved it all. I've loved bringing the school back on track with you, such that we've gone from 210 students some years back to 315 enrolled students for this year. I've loved singing Vespers with you every Sunday. I've loved joining you in making sure that B has enough resources to care for those most in need in our area. I've loved fixing things that are broken around here with you. I've loved building nativity scenes. I've loved decorating Christmas trees with you. I've loved washing feet with you. I've loved adoring the cross on Good Friday with you. I've loved celebrating Christ's resurrection with you. I have loved raising $5.6 million so that you can build a parish hall that will serve people in 2050. I've loved baptizing your babies. I've loved hearing your confessions. I have loved confirming your teenagers. I've loved marrying your sons and daughters. And I have loved celebrating funerals of those most dear to you. But with all of it, as great as it is, and it is great, Jesus continues to call me. And my thought was to say to the bishop, yes, of course I'll be the vicar general, but first let me finish St. Jerome Library and Media Center for the school. That was my thought. Oh, of course I'll be the vicar general, but first let me stay a few more years and get that church hall built. Oh, of course, yes, but first let me get more parking surfaced for the people. I'm good at these things and I enjoy them. But that's not the call of Jesus Christ. And that's not the way that you answer the call. And we all know it. The way is not about saving the things that give us a sense of pride and place. Make no mistake about it. We should always celebrate the wonderful achievements and experiences in life. God celebrates them when they happen himself. But the way of Christ is not so much about saving as it is about spending. We're not trying to figure out how to save our lives here. We're trying to figure out how to spend our lives here, like Christ on the cross, who spent it all for us. That's what this gospel passage is all about. That's what your Christian life must be all about. This is what Jesus means when he says to them, don't look back, don't hold on, don't be stingy with yourself when God needs something from you. This is very important. This is what I thought about when Bishop Vasquez asked me to be the Vicar General. And when I began this process, I thought, well, how can I do both? How can I hold on to what's mine and do what he needs me to do? That's not the call. The call is to be generous with yourself. So think about your life right now. This is a rhetorical question. Do not answer this out loud. Are you holding on to your achievements? Do you hold on tight to your plans, your things, your money, your prestige, your pride, your opinions, your demands? Or are you a generous person? Are you generous with your heart? Are you generous with your life? Are you generous with your career? Are you free enough, not necessarily to save your life, are you free enough to spend your life on Christ? To spend it his way? This is the real question from today's gospel, and it's the real question for each of us on our Christian journey. It's the most important question that you will ever ask yourself. Are you free enough to be generous with God? Pope John Paul II wrote about what he called the law of the gift. This was one of his themes in his pontificate. And the law of the gift from John Paul II reads this: man cannot truly find himself unless he makes a sincere gift of himself. This is very important. You will never find yourself if you're afraid to be generous with yourself to others. Each time you have the opportunity to say yes, you should say yes. I remember my mom was talking to me. I think the DCCW called me and asked to give a talk or something like that. And she said, are you going to give that talk? And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Mom, I got too many plates spinning right now. I'm not able to do it. And she said, well, what are you doing that night? I said, nothing. I just have too many other things to do. She goes, always say yes. When someone asks you to do something for Christ, the answer is yes. This is how you must live your life. And this is how I'm trying to live my life. This is how these people in this gospel did not live their life. And this is the Christian call. It's the lesson of our gospel. It's the lesson for me in my transition come tomorrow morning when I'm no longer the pastor of St. Louis. I have to remember I'm not the pastor of St. Louis because I'm trying to be generous with myself to the bishop. And it's the lesson for you today as you go on in your life. Christianity isn't so much about being saved. Christianity is much more about being spent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.